Welcome to Broker to Broker, brought to you by AIM, the Association of Independent Mortgage Experts. This podcast is all about real talk, one broker to another. You might notice we sound a little different. We are keeping things rolling during quarantine and recording virtually. So tune in, enjoy the show, and stay healthy. I am JP Hussey of the Hussey Team Mortgage Advisors, and we are going virtual today. I need a haircut. I need a beard cut. I'm wolfing it. But we got someone that looks a lot better than me today.
Oh.
Our guest, Kate DeBias of North Star Mortgage. What's up, Kate?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you? How you making out with all this funness we got going on? Good?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm good. It's different.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking yesterday, and you're still killing it. A lot of purchase business, like you said, which is great. Not that I was surprised yesterday when we talked about, but there's a lot of refis right now and a little fear of the unknown, right, with purchase. So, but that's awesome to hear.
Thanks.
Yeah, no doubt. So we'll jump into it. All right. We have about 45 minutes to an hour. Like I said, it's going to fly by. Now we met in Costa Rica, I remember, and we got to know each other a bit, but I want to know more about you, and everyone else does as well. So I'd love to hear your backstory of where you came from, what led you into the mortgage world. So let's talk about your history in mortgages, and I also want to dive into what you did before mortgages.
Okay.
That really relates to what we're doing now. So why don't you give us a little backstory?
So I worked at Jenny Craig for 8 years, and Lee worked there for maybe five before she left to do mortgages. So I didn't enjoy that as much because I wasn't so hands-on with people. So it's just this funny story that Lee and I will reflect back on is because we went out to lunch one day randomly. I mean, we've been friends for almost 20 years. And, you know, I was stuck behind at Jenny Craig and she was doing her own thing. And, you know, we connected on Facebook and we're like, let's grab lunch. So we went out to lunch and I was like, you know, I'm looking to get out of the weight loss industry, you know, maybe into something different. And she was like, well, you know, you should come try doing mortgages with me. And I was like, I don't know, we can try it. And we laugh about it because we're both kind of talking each other into it, you know, at the time.
Right.
And it was like, yeah, the best decision I ever made for sure.
Yeah. So you kind of moved up the chain at Jenny Craig and you kind of lost some of that one-on-one touch, right? With your clients, right?
Yes.
So getting a little maybe burned out from that, let's say, talking to Lee. And then that's what kind of led you to the mortgages because you wanted to get back into really getting one-on-one with client. And that's what we were talking about yesterday. Like you love, you know, like you said, being one-on-one with the client, doing so much for them. I mean, let's be honest. People are buying houses or refinancing the house they're in. Like it's very, very personal. I think
a lot of people
forget that. So yeah, so that's what happened. So it's been about what, 10 years now in the mortgage?
Yeah, that was
running on the same line, right?
Yeah. That lunch was like, Oh, it was this summer. It'll be our 10 year anniversary.
Nice. And they're a broker, right? You've only been in the broker world. You've never seen the other side, right? With a bank or with retail.
No, I've been with Lee from the start. I mean, from that day and, you know, until now, I've never gone anywhere else, never even considered it. Had some really good offers too. But like I told you yesterday, being able to come to work every day and work, you know, with my best friend hand in hand is priceless. There's no sign-on bonus that's worth that to me, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, especially in this industry where it can be tough. Let's be honest, the mortgage industry is hard. Yeah. So you really need to have a good, I've spoken to a lot of people about this. You need a good culture. You need to have the right people around you or it can make it even harder. You know, I mean, any job, but especially the mortgage industry, no doubt.
Yep, definitely.
So let's talk a little bit about when you started, because this was big when we were talking the other day about how you've processed your own loans. You kind of did everything. And I think you're in a stage now, whether it's this year or the past couple years, you're starting to kind of let go a little bit because I think you realize your book of business is big and you have to let go a little bit. It's tough, right?
Yeah.
But can we talk about how that impacted you doing the whole process to where it's led to you now?
Yeah, definitely. So when I started, it was just Lee and myself. And she taught me how to process. She's the best processor I know. Sometimes I joke with her like, hey, do you want to process for me?
Yeah, right.
because she taught me how to take a file from start to finish. And I think that's what's different when you look at, you know, other loan officers at banks and, you know, other places. Like, this may work for some people where they like to take the loan application and then you pass it off to a processor. And I'm not knocking that, but I don't think that would have worked as well for me. So I learned everything. I learned how to take every loan from start to finish completely by myself. And you know, like I told you yesterday, I just had this motto that I go through every file every single day, no matter how many loans I have going. And even when I was processing my own loans, I wouldn't leave for the night. But learning the process and learning like what's required of the processing part, I think really helped me to be a better loan officer in the long run, for sure.
Yeah. So you would recommend anyone getting into the industry or someone that may not think something's might be working in their own business and they never really did the processing side. Yeah. I mean, you'd probably recommend, right? Maybe going back and go through files, do it all. And do you agree that it forms a better relationship with the client as well?
It does. It does. You know, so I'm the only point of contact for realtors and clients. And I think that it works for me. Some people may say, oh, well, you know, how do you get that, you know, work-life balance when, you know, they're all, you know, I'm always the point of contact. But it just works for me. I just like it. I just like being the point of contact. So.
Yeah. So how's your setup right now though? Do you have a processor right now, an assistant? How's the setup look in with you guys?
Okay. So I'm working on it.
Hey, same here. That's what we were talking about yesterday. You know, it's very tough to give up the reins and jump in when you care so much for the client. You want everything to go right. So yeah, tell us where you're at now and maybe let's be honest, what are some struggles that you're going through in terms of delegating?
Yeah. So definitely, you know, I have control issues. Right. So, it is hard to, you know, to let go of control. So I do have a processor, just hired another processor before the coronavirus. So hopefully that kind of, you know, works out. And then working on a loan officer assistant as well. So that's what's going to be huge for me, is I've been able to maintain this level of volume with just myself. And I have my processor, but I tell her everything to do. You know, do this, do that, get this, get that, you know, so I'm still directing everything and I'm still the point of contact for all my clients. So.
Yeah, that's what I've seen. Yeah. I've seen like when you hire someone, it's tough in the beginning, right? Because, and there's no fault to them, but trust issues, control issues, right?
Definitely.
And you're putting in more work to show them what to do. And then eventually they're just going to run. That's the hope, right?
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important when you get into this industry, and I think you'll agree, where you want to process your own files up front so you know what the other person is going through, right? Yeah. So I think this is a great conversation to have with all the different people I've spoke to. I mean, they have larger teams. They've good at delegating, but all of them have all started with doing the loans themselves for the most part. I've yet to see someone come on and say, oh yeah, we just started a company, we started getting loans and just start throwing it. It doesn't work out the best when you're trying to grow the type of business you're trying to grow, which is very personal.
Yeah. And especially it helps you to learn, because it's one thing to request something, but it's another thing to know why you need it.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah. And that's something that I've always spent time like, and if I didn't know how to clear conditions on my own, how can I teach someone else to do that? Or how can I train, you know, someone else to do that?
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely looking at the condition, you're almost like a detective. Why do we need this? What is it they're really looking for? What can I get to clear this? And do we even really need it? You know, is half the question, you know, the question half the time.
Oh yeah, I know, right? You look at the condition, you're like, do we even need it? And you try and get it cleared, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, I know, speaking yesterday again, I don't know, you have some sort of crazy memory, right? From what we were talking about. You know, all types of loan guidelines, right? Now, one thing you're working on, right? Same with me, is trying to put processes into place, right?
Yep.
Like you said, you just know guidelines and they're just stuck in your head right now, right? Besides them being stuck in your head, like what are you working on for processing for your, guidelines and processes for your processor or loan officer assistant? Are you working on any of those processes to put in place so they can't like just go and try and rip it out of your head?
Right. Yes. So it's funny because my processor, even like the first month or two that I had her, she was like, I can't even believe how much I'm just learning from you. Mm-hmm. Just from, like you said, the stuff that's in my head, which, you know, and I think that just comes from, you know, experience, but also me like remembering crazy things. So if something happens, then I just remember it. And I'll be like, oh, remember that time, you know, 5 years ago that, you know, I saved this deal the day before closing because, you know, another lender said you could do something that I knew within 5 mm-hmm. minutes you couldn't do. So I think it's super helpful just knowing the guidelines. And if you can't like remember things as well, then keep track of them somewhere, you know, print something out, make a folder, keep a folder on your computer whenever you're researching guidelines. And that's what I do too. I do the work up front. A lot of loan officers will kind of take the application, submit it to underwriting, let that decision be made. I research the guidelines up front so that I know them ahead of time, which is huge.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it. And it surprises me sometimes when a loan officer will just, you know, throw shit against the wall. That's what we kind of say, right? Yep. And see if it sticks, right?
Right.
And I think you do this and we try to do it as well. It's a pre-underwrite yep. before it even goes in because you want that clean file. And yep. that's very important in any channel, but especially the broker world. If you're throwing stuff against the wall, it's going to clog up everything else. Then turn times for the loan officers that do the right job up front can get penalized for that. So it's super important. I think you agree, again, someone in the industry or someone new, submit a clean file. I mean, it's yeah. going to make everyone's lives easier and it trickles down to the client. And then that's how you're going to get that referral business. I mean, they know you're doing the right thing by them up front. You don't want to have, I mean, we've all had the convos a couple days before closing, mid, like something pops up or you miss something. How, I mean, that's the worst call in the world, saying you're denied or you have to go get some other crazy stipulation just to get it done. So it's super important in getting it done up front. That's great.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when it comes to your reputation, you know, in the industry, because I've had, I can't even tell you how many, you know, clients have told me, hey, I was in a multiple offer situation. There were five offers that were all the same. And the listing agent saw your name on the pre-qualification letter and said, hey, she's going to get it done. So I think it's really important to have that reputation. And that comes from, my name is gold. I don't just spit out a pre-qualification letter. If I put my name on it, I'm going to close your loan.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's huge. Now, what do you, with everything going on in today, I mean, we're seeing guidelines change rapidly, right? What are you doing right now to conduct your research? Like, as of like today, yesterday, are you watching a lot of what AIM puts out? Are you just reading guidelines? Like, what are you doing right now to help everyone out with changing guidelines right now?
Yeah, so I definitely do watch what you guys post. I also check in. I mean, I use UWM a lot, so I'm always checking in, you know, with them, getting updates from my AE. But I'm also really close with my underwriter. Like we were messaging last night at like 8 o'clock last night. So I'm fortunate to have that relationship where he's always letting me know what's going on and new stuff that comes up. It's priceless. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd love to know your actual process, like the loan flow.
Could you
walk us through to let everyone know what you do that maybe they could take some bits and pieces of it? Like once you get a new client, where do you start? Let's say it's for a purchase.
Yep. So you mean like just a phone call introduction or they're under contract?
Like do you use an online app? Like what's the process flow right now from beginning to end? Trying to get pretty detailed if we can.
Sure. So, I mean, I'm actually, that's something that like we talked about yesterday, like I have goals for the future because I'm so hands-on and I still do so much of everything myself that I actually, like, I don't have a CRM. There's a lot of things I don't have in place. So that's okay because, I'm working on things like working on right now, you know, my broker owners researching CRMs, working on getting the right loan officer assistant, working on getting a couple processors. So I'm working on, you know, these steps because I don't do any online marketing either. Mm-hmm. And that's something that people are just shocked. Like I don't even have a Facebook business page.
But I think this is good that we're talking about this, quite honestly, for everyone out there, because people are watching this to get an idea to feel like, are they alone with not having a CRM or not being on social media? you're very, very successful without doing those things.
Right.
And you're sticking and moving and you're realizing, okay, I should, if we're going to grow, like if you're hiring processors, loan officer assistants, you're going to have to grow even more, right? To pay for them or however it is. And social media could be a big part of that. But I think this is good that we're talking through I don't want to say struggles, but how you're growing and changing. So let's talk about that then real quick. What are you doing to get business outside of social media right now? Like, what's your day look like to get business? Is it calling realtors? Like, what are you doing? But your past, your book of business, what are you doing there? What are you doing?
So I just treat my clients a little differently, than I've heard either, like even other loan officers on the phone. Like I talked about with this yesterday.
Yeah.
Some loan officers, I hear them on the phone and I hear like the change of voice and it's so obvious who they're talking to. But sometimes with me, like you almost wouldn't even know, like, is she talking to her friend or is she talking to a client?
Okay,
like,
cool.
I talk to people like they're normal people. And because what ends up happening at the end of the transaction is I end up having friends that stick with me, like, you know, before COVID, obviously, but I have one of my clients that we now go to spin class every Sunday together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I build those relationships. Like my clients, it's not just a transaction to me. I'm not a transactional broker. These are my friends. These are my family. Like it ends up, you know, being that way, which I think is definitely something that sets me apart.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, I'm the same type of way. I'm so invested in my local community. Like I know you are. Literally right before I jumped into here, I was outside and I have a couple friends and also clients helping set up a table for free sandwiches, hot dogs for everyone in the community.
That's
and
awesome.
It is funny how just by doing those things and then kind of putting it out there, what you do, that you're in mortgages, real estate, they just kind of start coming to you. So I would bet right now you probably don't do a lot of going and getting business. You're kind of subconsciously doing things and people just come to you. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, you're right. So I just like helping people. So there's like a personal satisfaction for me from helping people. So there's like a local store here that we have, you know, in the next town over. And I know their doors are practically closed. So they're kind of struggling to make ends meet. So I had them make up a bunch of these big gift boxes for me with a bunch of like local goodies. And I spent like 4 days last week. I spent Thursday, Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, driving around the entire state of Maine, dropping these off on people's doorsteps with a note from me just saying, hey,
oh, cool.
I'm thinking about you. You know, I hope you're doing okay. And the reaction I got was phenomenal. I mean, people were like, you know, just saying like my favorite loan officer just did this for me. Like, I just love her. And it was so great to get all that feedback and just know that I was, you know, bringing positivity to someone's day when they're, you know, when everyone right now is fighting a battle.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to get business, right? And if we run through a couple of them, one might be, let's get a list of realtors in my area and just call them up. Maybe that's one way of doing it, right? That's tough to do. You still have to reach out to them. But the days of cold calling realtors, I mean, it's kind of over, I would think, in my opinion, right? Then there's a strategy, and none of these are wrong, but strategy of buying leads, right? That might be a different type of shop. But for you, it's more local, 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 and just truly caring for people. And like we were saying yesterday, with your experience at Jenny Craig and then moving to the mortgage, it's just a widget, really. Like, you can stop doing mortgages, go do something else, but your value, your core values is just being in tune with people, forming relationships, and then kind of carrying them through the process, right? Whatever that widget might be, whatever you're selling.
Yep, definitely. The helping people. I really like that.
Is there anything else that you do to drive business like that? Are you doing any Martin? First thing that comes to mind is billboards. I don't know why, but I'm sure you're not doing any of that, right? But
no, we don't have those in Maine.
Yeah, right. But what else are you doing to just keep pushing your local presence and having that business just kind of come to you?
Yeah.
Like, you gave us a great example. What are a couple other things that you do?
Well, one thing I've always focused on, and I see a lot of loan officers doing this, is and it's fine, it's great. You know, again, I'm not knocking what anyone else does. I'm just saying the things I do a little differently is, you know, loan officers would always be out looking for new business, constantly. Whereas I'm in the office all day, every day. So I always focused on, even if it's one loan, you do such a good job on that one loan. And that's how you get more business, is just doing so well on the pipeline you have that more business mm-hmm. will come. You don't necessarily have to be out there, you know, dropping off donuts at realtor's office. Like, it's great. And a lot of people do that and it gets their name out there and it does work. So if you're doing that, it's working, don't stop. But I definitely spend a lot of time in the office, a lot of time.
Yeah. Is there anything that you're doing right now to get in front of your current book of business of clients that you've already closed? Cause I'm assuming that's where a lot of your leads come from, word of mouth and past clients. Yeah. Is there any tricks or strategies that you're doing with your current book of business? Are you sending them out anything? Like, what are you doing there?
Yeah. I mean, more like what I told you I did this last weekend, like stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm assuming people are just giving you leads because, like you said, you do such a good job on the quote unquote transaction. I don't like calling it that either.
I know. Yeah.
You do so well on it. People will just start giving you clients back. Right.
Yep.
I mean, one strategy that I've used over the years, because we run our businesses a lot alike, I would say, in the local community, we just kind of get leads from past clients. But if you're going to get into social media more, I have a private group with just, I friend all my clients on Facebook for the most part, and then they go into a private group, right? And in that private group, once they close on a house, you know, we'll spotlight them, let's say. But then we go in there and we don't talk about just mortgages and real estate all the time. It's more about, hey, do you need a plumber? Do you need a new hairstylist or whatever? And we just kind of start growing this local community of what actual our clients do to try to support them back.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Something to look into for your past clients, no doubt.
Yeah. No, that's a great idea. And then you're helping your past clients' businesses all at the same time. So
oh, yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
And then like, when rates drop, right, and we want to help them maybe refinance, right, you can throw one note in there, like, hey, rates have dropped. If you want us to take a look, let us know. We'll let you know if it's a yes or a no. And then you just hit them all, boom. That's almost my CRM, to be honest with you, is Facebook. So if you don't have a CRM, you might want to start right with Facebook.
I'm going to get one.
I love it.
Yes, I have plans.
Cool. Well, we can talk about that stuff later.
Yeah.
Now, to get back to, I'm really curious, because you do such a good job on the quote-unquote transaction again,
yep.
I'd love to know, again, the flow. Like, when you get a client referred to you from a past client, and they, what do? They call you, text you usually?
Yeah, yep, usually call, email, text.
Email. Okay, where do you start? Is it always a phone conversation, or is it an online app? How's that flow in the beginning start, let's say, a pre-approval?
Okay, so I will communicate with them the way they communicated with me.
Okay, cool.
So if they send me an email, I'm emailing back. If they text me, I text back. If they call, I'll pick up the phone and call.
Cool.
Yep, so that's definitely how I start. And I do start with, you know, obviously before COVID, I would always offer to meet people in person. Some people are face-to-face people and they prefer that. And I actually had somebody who used me because I was the only one that offered to meet in person.
Cool.
So, you know, that is something I would do. Obviously now we're just doing online applications. So starting with the application process right away, after I build a little bit of rapport, so I'm not just like, hey, here's the application, fill it out, I'll talk to you later.
Right.
You know, talk to them a little bit, like, how did you hear about me? Because I want to make sure that whoever referred them to me knows that I know and I do something special for them. So definitely always asking, you know, how did you hear about me?
Are you using, what are you using for your online application? Is it Blink with UWM or what are you using?
Flowfy.
Flowfy? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've been looking into that as well. Cause that's great for collecting documents as well, right?
Yeah. It's user friendly and it's really easy to upload documents and stuff. I did try Blink, but I like Flowfy better.
Okay, cool. All right. So you build some rapport. Right now, you're using the online application. Like you said, you might be face-to-face. If they want to talk over the phone, you'll do it that way.
Definitely.
So after they fill in the online app, are you collecting documents for the most part right away and then doing that full pre-underwrite, pre-approval?
Yeah. I'm definitely having them fill out their loan application and look up their income docs and their assets, you know, especially with a lot of the overlays right now with first-time homebuyers. trying to make sure that they have that money in reserves and stuff up front.
Okay, cool. All right, so you have the pre-approval done, you have some documents, mm-hmm. and then at that point, are you sending it out to the realtor and then building that rapport again, and then kind of just sending them on their way until they come back?
So that's something that I've had to kind of tweak a little bit, because it's so competitive out there that you mm-hmm. used to be able to kind of, you know, send the pre-qual and trust that you would hear back from them. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up finding out that, you know, they go to an open house over the weekend and another realtor steers them to another lender. And then I'm like, oh, well, you know, I didn't follow up with them. It's my own fault. So yep. That's the piece I'm missing with the CRM.
Okay.
And also, because I just keep track on like an Excel spreadsheet. So that's yeah. the piece that I'm working on, is for not losing those pre-qualification people. Because when I look at the amount that slipped through the cracks so early on in the process.
That hurts, right?
It hurts.
Yeah. I know. So you're
using my own fault.
No, I do. I'm the same way. And this is why I love doing these podcasts, because I love picking other people's brains about what they're yep. doing so I can go implement, right? Yep. All right. So you're using Excel spreadsheet, right? Now, your day-to-day. All right. So you get some leads in, you're pre-approving them, and then, all right, you're sending them on your way for the most part. But now you're really trying to hit them, what, once a week, every other week? How are you following up with them now?
Yeah. Well, once I get the CRM, I'm hoping to do it, you know, weekly. It really depends on where they are in the process. If right. it's somebody yep. that I've given, like, you know, they need to get their credit score up, I've given them some, you know, guidelines on what to do with their credit, you know, I might check in a month, because then secured credit card they opened is reporting. If they haven't opened the secured credit card yet that I told them to, I can follow up on that. So it really depends on, you know, if it's someone that says, we're not moving up here for 6 months. Okay, then they probably don't need to hear from me weekly if they're not even looking yet. They just wanted to start the process. But if it's someone who's actively looking, then yeah, I'm definitely trying to check in more often. Checking in with them or their realtor.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, how are you keeping track of all this? I know we were talking about yesterday. It's all in your head, right? Mm-hmm. We just got to like cut your head open and kind of just see what's up with it, right?
It's great in there.
As you're implementing, like with Excel spreadsheet, what's the top look like? What are the, does this, you know, name, status, date when it came in? Could you let us know what are the key points? Because listen, there's people out there with some crazy complicated CRMs. That's not you, right?
Like, oh, no.
Yours more of a simple, you go from memory, you go from feeling, right? That's yep. how you build rapport. That's what I'm seeing from you, right?
Definitely.
So what does your Excel spreadsheet say? Like, what are the key points that you're looking for so at least I can jog your memory?
Yeah, one big thing I put in there is who referred them to me, because okay. sometimes it is hard to keep track of everyone, but mm-hmm. if I put the little notes in there or put who referred them to me, that for some reason helps trigger back for okay. me who it is. Yeah. Yep. And then I always send the pre-qualification out to them, the letter to them and to their realtor after we've gone over. Oh, and this is something I do differently. So a lot of lenders will say, here's your maximum. But it's so scary to a first-time buyer to say, hey, you're pre-qualified up to $500,000. And they're like, oh right. my God, I can't afford that. So my first question to people is, what is a comfortable monthly payment? Have you guys sat down and talked about this? Let's kind of do things a little differently so that you're not house poor for mm-hmm. your first house. Like, if you want to know your max, I'm happy to tell you. However, I want to focus more on a comfortable monthly payment for you so that you can still live your life and have a nice house too.
Yeah. I mean, this is huge. I mean, we all know a maximum pre-approval number, it's all BS, right? Because it's going to change with the property. Taxes might be different, whatever it is. So this is how we do the same thing. We ask for comfortable monthly payment, maximum payment you'd maybe go up to if you love the house, and right. then total money out of pocket. And right. then we try to puzzle it together. It sounds like you do that as well. And that's what being a true advisor is, right? So yeah, sure, 500,000, but you maybe want to stay in the 350 range given the areas you're looking to buy in with what you want your payment to be, right? So that's awesome. I mean, that's why people love you, because you're taking their actual goals into mind and hitting those goals. I mean, that's awesome. Yeah. And so, all right. So you have your Excel spreadsheet.
Yep.
You got, so that jogs your memory.
Yep.
How about, is there a note section in terms of, like you said, like credit report's going to expire here, there? Do you have anything like that? I don't. I kind of go off of memory too. Yeah. So we need to get you a CRM. We need to get you something. I'm calling Lee after this. I'm like, yo, you got to get your girl a CRM. I'll put some pressure on her.
Yes, do it. She's been on it. She's been working on it. And it's just like, I did try a couple loan officer assistants last year, but I just couldn't find one to stick. You know, either they, you know, one, it was funny because she was the top processor at a local bank, but I got her in here and she just didn't need my answers. You know what I mean? So that was tough. Just wasn't the motivator as driven as me to help people. Mm-hmm. So, I think she was so used to the bogged down process where, you know, you'd get a verification of employment and then you'd go to a pile, and if you didn't have it back in a week or two, you'd check in. And I'm like, no, like if you've requested this today, I want it by tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And if we don't have it, call and request it how you need it. So always get deadlines with it in the way.
It's always tough. I mean, that's what we've gone through is when you're passing things off or delegating, it's no fault to the other person a lot of times. It's just not their book of business. It's just not their client, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's something that I battle with. And I love that we're having this conversation because it shows you how, like, everyone's going through this right now of trying to hire, especially when you're a successful loan officer and you're trying to get to that next step. It's scary, right? And like you said, you've been through a couple of them. And hopefully you got the right one now, you know, you're looking right for the LOA.
I am still looking. I even tried hiring like a top underwriter from a local lender, and it was hard because he was kind of not trainable. Because he was so stuck in his ways that whenever I tried to tell him, hey, look, this is how we do it here. It ended up being like, well, no, this is why I did it this way. And it just ended up being, you know, too much. So,
Well, I mean, you respect and care for your clients so much and what you have done has worked. So yeah, I wouldn't change that. And this is what you like to do. Again, you could not sell mortgages and you're still going to care and respect your clients. So the next person you hire has to know that it's your book of business. And putting the client and consumer first is really the only way to go.
Definitely. You know? And you know what's so funny? Like with us talking about this, it just makes me think about, I actually love processing. I love it.
It's You're a weirdo. No, I'm kidding.
I love getting the conditions, crossing them off. I love the whole, you know, process of getting things, seeing how quickly I can get it done. It's almost like a rush for me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I like it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So we got like 10 minutes.
That's it. Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you, it's already been 35 minutes.
That's crazy.
We could talk about this all day.
Okay.
I always ask everyone two questions at the end. All right.
Okay.
So first one is we may have gone through this a bit already, but a new loan officer or someone that just wants to change their business. Cause there's people in, you know, brokers are better in the group in AIM where they've been in the business 25 years, but you constantly have to change, right? What's one or two things that you could tell that person that's looking to change their business or get into the business? What's something that you could tell them?
That's a great question.
Well, I mean, I think it would go back to really caring about your clients. I mean, that's what you do.
Definitely caring about your clients. I feel like a lot of that comes naturally. You have to be a little bit of a handholder. You have to be like, you know, just the right combination to make things work. I think communication's key. I think that's huge. Yeah, definitely communication is huge.
Yeah, I mean, I've found too with the communication piece, like sometimes it's hard to break bad news, or ask for something that you know might be annoying, let's say. But the clients usually, I think if you've been doing this 10 years, and I know in the past it's been people would come at you like, why do I have to get this? Why do I have to get that? I don't see that as much anymore. Like, I think people understand, listen, it can be a daunting process. And that's where communication is key. Just rip the bandaid off, tell them what they need. And they're usually cool about it in today's world. So communication's key. That's a big one for you.
Right? Definitely. Especially if you see an issue with the file, you know, let a realtor know right away. you know, I had a realtor tell me the other day, you know, Kate, because the borrower, he like didn't tell me, and he decided to like take some unpaid time off, and I, you know, so I had to get an updated pay stub, and I was like, oh, what's up with the time off?
Yeah, right.
So I let the realtor know. I said, hey, just so you know, because I want the realtor to hear it from me, not the buyer. So I'm like, just so you know, this is what's going on or whatever. And he was like, Kate, you know, that's what I love about you. You always tell me when things are going, you know, when things are going on, you always let me know what the problem is, what you're doing about it. So I never have to worry. He said most loan officers, if I don't hear from them for 2 weeks, I know something's wrong.
Interesting. Yeah. And I think that's more and more important right now in today's lending world, whether COVID was around or not, but just being a great communicator with your realtor partners too. That's what they want. And that's where you're going to get more business, whether it's good news or bad news. You got to stay in front of it. You can't let it fester, or it's just not going to be good for everyone, and no one's going to want to use you again.
Yeah, they just want to know what's going on. So if a realtor has to ever wonder, hey, what's going on with that appraisal, or you know, when are we going to be clear to close? That's stuff that you should let your realtor know, because then the realtor knows, oh, I don't need to worry about that. Like, we're already clear to close, Kate told me. Or, you know what I mean? Like, just keeping them, you know, up to date with the transaction.
Cool. All right, last question.
Okay.
This was a different answer probably a couple months ago. But where do you see the industry going in the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? Like, where do you see the future of the industry?
You know, being in this 10 years, I've seen, you know, the ebb and flow of the industry. So I used to, you know, worry about stuff. Like I remember, you know, many years in the winter, come January, February, my pipeline dwindled. I'd be like, oh no, like I'd start freaking out the first few years. But then after a few years, I'm like, this is just what happens. Like it's all part of the process. So I think that, you know, like any other time, the good ones are going to stick with it. And you know, I'm actually excited. I'm excited for the future. I think that this is definitely unprecedented times, but I think we're going to come out ahead, and I think it's going to be exciting, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And I think people like you, loan originators like you, are the ones that are going to thrive. The ones that have the personal touch. People, in my opinion, we're going to have some more automation, which is only going to help our jobs. It's going to help our jobs. It's going to make it easier so then we can go advise to the client. And I think that's what the client wants. They want a personal touch mixed with a little bit of ease with technology, but they want that true advisory. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree.
Nice. All right, cool. Well, that's it for us, Kate. We could have went for another hour, and I hope I can pick your brain at some point. Even after this, I'd love to know more about your processes to help us out as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I can't wait to show you once I get more onto social media and once I get my team in place.
We're doing a part two. Once you get your CRM and once you get more involved in social media, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do a follow-up.
Yes.
All right, cool. Thank you so much, Kate. Everyone, this was Kate DeBias. I said it right. North Star Mortgage. Thank you again, and stay safe.
Thanks for listening to Broker podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss a single episode. Head over to aimgroup.com/broker-to-broker and subscribe on any platform where you listen to podcasts.